This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Again, we're a little late today because of some technical issues with the handicapper support, but we eventually got that up and running, and expect to be joined by Ellis Starr in a little bit. We'll take a break before that, but I just wanted to open the show and hit on a couple of news and notes worth remembering. I mentioned it at the end of the handicappers report. If you weren't watching yesterday's action from Belmont, John Velasquez got a first-time starter across Malathot in the fourth race yesterday at Belmont to score his 2,000th career victory at Belmont Park. His 2,000th victory at a single track. It was actually his 6,238th overall victory, but 2,000 wins at Belmont. I mean, think about that. Just incredible. Incredible career for John Velasquez, who's still really riding at the top of his game. Inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2012. He's been a two-time Eclipse Award winner. And it was notable that that 2,000th win at Belmont was for Todd Pletcher, because obviously over the years they have been a very potent team. Maybe don't team up as much these days as they used to, but obviously still do. And according to a Dave Grenig write-up, that was for the Pletcher-Velasquez team, that was career victory 1,820. I mean, most trainers or jockeys would love to have 1,800 wins on their resume, much less a team, a jockey trainer team over their career, putting in that number. Just incredible. Grenig also noted that it was career victory number 4,987 for Todd Pletcher. So Todd Pletcher nearing the 5,000 career win mark. So he's on his way to a notable winner's circle poster picture-taking event as well. Also noted last Sunday when we were in here, we saw Enable, unfortunately, go down to defeat in the arc. She was trying for her third arc. The ground was a little bit probably not to her liking there. And then as they came down the stretch, there was a little accordion effect that she was in the middle of, so took a little bit of the worst of it. But they may be attempting to go out on a high note. They're looking at maybe British Champions Day for a final start for Enable on October 17th. So we'll keep our eyes and ears open to see if Enable will have one more shot to, as I say, go out on a high note after losing in the arc. Losing behind Sotsas. Sotsas, if I'm anywhere close to pronouncing that, but the Peter Brandt runner, becoming one of the few, third American to win the race, if I read that right. Again, Enable perhaps back for one more try. Churchill, this was kind of interesting. Matt Haggerty came out with a story yesterday, I think. Churchill selling tickets for the fall meet, which will start after the Keeneland meet in late October. But they have been selling tickets. I didn't see anything in the article that said specific numbers. And the spokesperson said that the plan to have spectators is fluid. Went on to say that local football programs, University of Louisville, University of Kentucky, are allowing limited capacity spectators. So we'll see how that works out for Churchill. again, fluid. So they're selling tickets. We still have the Keeneland meet to play out. But as I say, we'll see if they wind up with some kind of limited number of fans at Churchill Downs. And also notable, wagering, national wagering handle for the month of September up, and up significantly, 30%. Now, part of that is because we moved the Derby to September, but it was a Matt Haggerty column in the Racing Forum, as he says, it cannot be explained entirely by the Derby rescheduling, as the amount that it went up was much more than the amount that the Derby played into the monthly total. So, again, that racing, I've said it right along, racing, as compared to other major sports, I think has done a very good job as compared to baseball and football, hockey, basketball, which all had kind of fits and starts at some point a little bit. And racing has had positives as well, but just the nature of the sport, one jockey is positive and has to sit out the 10 or 14 days, the game still goes on. And I think they can be in a bubble a little bit more than maybe some of the other sports. And so racing has been able to do a pretty good job of kind of staying relatively normal. I mean, there are no fans on track, but the sport itself is going along normally. And that's been reflected with some pretty good handle numbers over the past 6 months or so. Now, for racetracks, that's still, it's not all good news, because Saratoga, obviously a lot of money is made with concessions and entry fees and buying seats and whatnot. All of that revenue was lost. And I know Fonner, which had the crazy season, they kind of lamented, and you don't think of a small track like Fonner, but they said their weekends, they get a lot of people, and for them, concessions and whatnot. So there are other sources of revenue that have been lost during this, but at least the handle numbers have been pretty good. And so that's certainly a silver lining, I suppose, in a tough time for the racing game. All right, we'll take a break. But when we come back, as promised, Ellis Starr, national racing analyst from Equibase. We'll take a look at some of the stakes action from both Keeneland and Belmont this afternoon. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Stone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. We are joined now by Ellis Starr, national racing analyst from Equibase. Ellis, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good morning, racing fans.
Happy to have you on board to talk a little Keeneland and a little Belmont Park. Great stakes action at both of those tracks. Before we do that, though, I wanted to go back and just get your thoughts on last week's Wrap up to the unusual 2020 Triple Crown. I said on the Handicappers Report earlier, it was good that the racing game figured it out. It was delayed. It was different, but I thought it was satisfying in its own way. Different winner in each leg, but it wound up with a real exclamation point of a race as Swiss Skydiver would just not let Authentic go by in the stretch. So it was a satisfying result in a very difficult year.
It was. It was good to have not something that was kind of, you know, it wasn't in advance one of those things where you just didn't know big winner, big margins. It was exciting and different than sometimes having a breakaway winner at the end. And it was great for Ken McPeak, local boy, to be here in Kentucky. And Swiss Skydiver proved that she could do it. The fillies have done well, as we know, in the Preakness. Went back to Rachel Alexander, and she did not let Authentic go by, and she was really game. I thought it was a great card at Pimlico. I was very pleased with the racing. Handle for the big days were down a little bit, but still overall, Handle in North America is doing really well. Fans have embraced betting from home, and it's going great guns.
Yeah, all stakes card at Pimlico last week, and it was great racing, certainly. Oh, before I move on, I mentioned this on the Handicappers Report earlier as well. Since we're talking fillies and we're going to talk a little Keeneland, boy, did you see Got Stormy yesterday? Earlier in the year, I think we were all thinking, has she lost a step? Man, she looked great yesterday in that Franklin County.
Well, yeah, I mean, I used her. I'm doing this show called Keeneland at Home on Keeneland's YouTube and Facebook pages, and she was racing the shortest distance she'd ever run. You know, theoretically, cutting back, she should get up and run even better than she did on that soft turf in Kentucky Downs, and she did run really well. I used her. I ended up running first, third, fourth, and fifth in the race. I love the 22-1 shot that ran really gangbusters, and the other the seven horse that came on from last, but she was impressive, and she really is on top of her game right now.
Yeah, that was very impressive. She came like a freight train, got up by a little snudge. All right, let's get some ideas for this afternoon at Keeneland. We'll also look at some of the Belmont stakes, but a couple of really nice stakes at Keeneland. Let's start out with the Grade 1 QE2. Nice field of fillies, three-year-old fillies in here, going a mile and an eighth on the grass. I pulled up the Del Mar Oaks from August 22nd to give us a little preview of number 7, Red Lark. That will be the winner at 19-1 in the Del Mar Oaks. Red Lark comes back this afternoon in the QE2, but Harvey's Little Goyle is interesting. Sweet Melania from Todd Pletcher. I think Antoinette is a player. She's really consistent. Magic Attitude out of the Belmont Oaks win. You can go in 5 or 6, Micheline off the win in the Dueling Ground Oaks and Kentucky Downs. You can go 5 or 6 ways, I think, and have similar confidence. What are your thoughts on the QE2?
Well, you know, there's an old cliche in handicapping that Grade 1 winners win Grade 1 races, and certainly Red Lark did that. I didn't have her that day, but it was a legitimate win. She got the last eighth in a sub-12 seconds, which is really flying. The Echo Bay speed figure is 117, so it's rock solid here. She's a little disregarded on the morning line at 10-1. I think she's good, but I also like California Kook, because if you like Red Lark, you got to like California Kook. She was further back in the Del Mar Oaks. Now, she did come back 2 weeks later and run against the boys in the Del Mar Derby, but she finished from 7th to 4th, beating a couple lengths. I don't think she was disgraced. She's 12-1. And then I think you have to look at Magic Attitude for Delacour. That U.S. debut in the Belmont Oaks was fantastic, winning. It was a four-horse field, so maybe easier, but she did go by the field in a blink of an eye on the turn and opened up late. Her figure was a little lower than the other two, 104, but she should run better second in the U.S., and she's the main reason Javier Castellano's not in New York today.
Yeah, it's, as I say, a nice field of three-year-old fillies on the turf with some potential there to find maybe a little value in the mix. A little bit earlier on the card, it's the Fayette Grade 2 event, mile and an eighth. Mr. Freeze certainly going to take some action, but you have to wonder about the distance for that one. I'm going to play around a little bit with Aurelius Maximus, and I pulled up the allowance optional claiming win back on September 5th at Churchill Downs. Aurelius Maximus going to be the winner here over Bodie Express. Number 9, Aurelius Maximus getting it done. The race 2 back down at the fairgrounds on the numbers is more what I'm keying on, is that one being competitive in here. But again, the fairgrounds race 2 back was January. So this was kind of a comeback effort that, excuse me, might put some fitness into Aurelius Maximus. So I'm going to take a little pop there, I think, find that one interesting. But again, there's a number of players in here. Tax for Danny Gargan can be a player. What are your thoughts on the Fayette?
Well, first, Tax is they just announced the scratches, so Tax is out.
Okay.
We're on the same page with Aurelius Maximus. I like him. My topic is the three crafty daddy and the two captivating moon. But Aurelius Maximus, that race you talked about at Fairgrounds was second off a layoff, and he's second off a layoff today. So that's good. He won the race at September 5th at Churchill from the nine post. The 10's not going to matter. He's got tactical speed. You got a little shorter field here. Mimosa may go. He may sit second, which is good. Crafty Daddy and Captivating Mood, the two and the three, come out of the opening verse stakes at Churchill. And that was a really highly rated race with a 107 Echo-based speed figure. They battled head-to-head the length of the stretch. They both have reasons to think they could run the same or better, Seth, with Crafty Daddy third off a layoff. And he stayed in that race that was off the turf. It was his first dirt race since his debut. And we're talking about McPeak and Swiss Skydiver. McPeak is just red hot right now. And Captivating Mood, second off a layoff. He gets Pratt for Julian Leperoux, who was injured yesterday, or at least has taken some time off. I haven't heard the status, but he did dropped him at the gate yesterday. So 2, 3, and 10 here. And as to Mr. Freeze, I'm done with him. I had him a few times. I thought he could have some speed. He doesn't seem to be anything like what he was last year at this time when he ran second in this race, the Fayette last season.
Yeah, as I say, going to be a couple of fun stakes races at Keeneland, the opportunity to maybe make a little money with some horses that may go off at some decent prices. All right, let's shift our attention now to Belmont and their stakes races. We'll kind of go in chronological order here. We'll start with the Flower Bowl. I pulled up to take a look at the Glens Falls from Saratoga back on September 5th. We have, the first four finishers. Number one, Civil Union, will win. Number four, My Sister Nat, runs second. Number two is Bo Bell. Number three is Lovely Lucky. And again, they're back on Saturday afternoon. The horse who finished fifth in this race, Iliade, wound up winning an allowance race at Keeneland a little bit earlier this week, so maybe flatter some of these performers. All of that said, I'm going to take a pop with Nay Lady Nay, kind of the other Chad Brown runner. I just thought the win down at Laurel kind of signaled the horses in really good form right now. But again, these horses coming out of this Glens Falls race are going to take a lot of action. What are your thoughts on the Flower Bowl?
Well, you know, these fields, these races at Belmont have some shorter fields, but I think there's some value, and I'm with you on Lay Nay Nay. Let me first talk about the Glens Falls. You know, it was a really good race, and this is the difference in speed figures, and I look at various speed figures. I'm not wed to the Echo-based speed figure, but the Echo-based speed figure for the Glens Falls was really, really low. It was 89 for the winner, as opposed to Nay Lady Nay, who got 104 for the race at Laurel, as you said. And that wasn't a fluke, because a 107 in the matchmaker before that. So here's a four-year-old filly against a couple of five-year-olds who's still improving, basically fourth off the layoff. I don't think she was ready in the mint julep off of that six-month layoff. So I think she can run a lot better in Brown. We know he's good. But when you look at this figure, 32% back-to-back wins in turf route stakes over the last few years. So horse won last race, is now is in the stakes at turf route almost a third of the time. I think Lady Nay is the pick here. I'm going to single her on some tickets. I'm going to play her on top of Cambier Park, My Sister Nat, and Civil Union Exactas, and I'm hoping to get 3-1. I think it's a value play, believe it or not, in this race.
I like the look at the speed figures, because I'm looking at the Racing Form PPs here, and they're pretty close buyer-wise. Civil Union came up with a 94. Nay Lady Nay came up with a 96. So I like the perspective of taking a look at some other numbers, which maybe indicates something very different.
Yeah, no, it's something I try and do. I do it afterwards, because when you end up looking at figures first, you can end up on the chalk most of the time.
Yeah.
I think it's just interesting that that race came up low for whatever reason. Now, it's a 1.38, which is not run that much, so you got to question it, but that's why I looked at both the speed figures, and the buyers you say are the same, but the echo base are much better. And also about Nay Lady Nay, she won the Mrs. Revere on a yielding course at Churchill at the end of her three-year-old campaign, so that's a grade two. She really fits with these.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's move on to the Jockey Club Gold Cup Grade 1 event. Short field in here. I pulled up Tacitus winning the Suburban the last time this horse was seen at Belmont. Again, this is not a particularly strong Grade 1 field, and I think he may have the same situation that he faced in the Suburban a couple of starts back. Wound up second in the Woodward subsequently. The interesting horse to me is maybe Happy Saver. I could have tilted either way with the three-year-olds, but I wound up putting Happy Saver at the bottom of the mix. But undefeated in three starts for Todd Pletcher. If I was going to play around, I may take a look at that one. But Tacitus is interesting to me. What are your thoughts in the Jockey Club?
Well, in the Woodward, Tacitus had a problem. And the problem was a horse on a lone lead. And he's had this problem before. You know, he won the Suburban off a 110 and 4/5. Six for a long fraction, but a 111 and 4/5 couldn't do it. In this field, it's tactical, and I kept asking myself, well, who's going to go? And I got back to Happy Saver, as you said. I like Happy Saver. I like Mystic Guide because a 4-1, I can't pass it. These are three-year-olds facing older. Tacitus is really suspect, I think, to a horse on a lone lead. I can't see how the strategy is not going to be to send Happy Saver. And, you know, he's a lightly raced horse. He's got a 106 and a 104 echo-based figure at 9 furlongs. He's certainly bred for 10 with the stupid distorted humor at Maria's Mon on the bottom of both the sire and dam sides. He chose this race over the Preakness, but so did Mystic Guide. He was talked about for the Preakness. And that race in the Jim Dandy was a breakout. I mean, that was a 108. It was slightly better than Happy Saver. The problem is he came from 6th in the Jim Dandy. He came from 5th of Break His Maiden. He came from 8th to 3rd in the Peter Pan. He's going to be further back here, and unless someone goes to Happy Saver, he doesn't win. I made him my top pick on one of the blogs, but I'm kind of thinking the other way around. I'm going to play a 1-5 exacta box. I might reluctantly play 1-5 over the 4 Tacitus, but I think I'm going to make a win on Happy Saver here if I can get about 2-1, Seth.
All right, very good. And finally, the Sands Point at Belmont, race number 10, mile on the grass for the 3-year-old fillies. Talked about this one earlier on the Handicappers Report, and I said coming out of the Lake George, I was going to tilt towards Selflessly, and in this replay, Selflessly will be the number 8 horse, getting it done over Sweet Melania. And again, off of that one, I probably tilt in that direction. Down at the bottom of my mix, though, and when I talked on the Handicappers Report, I made the same comment because I didn't want anybody to ignore number 7, Pure Wow. That one has the ability to maybe get out there and kind of steal it on the front end. And I wouldn't want to leave that one out of my horizontals. I said earlier, you don't want to turn for home and have Pure Wow 5 ahead, and you've left that one out of your Empire 6 mandatory pay ticket. So Pure Wow is interesting to me at maybe a little bit of a price. What are your thoughts on the Sands Point?
Well, on one hand, I could see alling this race. You know, pick 3, use all, because I like Nay Lady Nay, and then I'm only going to use Happy Saver, Tacitus, and Mystic Guide. So it would be 1 by 3 by 8, a $24 ticket. If I lose the first leg, I'm out. I could see doing that, and Pure Wild certainly could do that. But I really came down to 2 here. My main ticket is going to use the 1 Tama here, the 2 Speak to Me of Summer, the 3 Selflessly, and the 5 Miss J. McKay. But the horses I'm looking to key on, the win bets, are Speak to Me of Summer and Miss J. McKay. And I like Miss J. McKay best because that race at Kentucky Downs that she finished second in, first of all, she finished second to a really up-and-coming star in Lighthouse at 6.5. And you know that's a tricky course up and down. And she was getting to Lighthouse a little bit late. Before that, second at Saratoga. I mean, all these stakes in a row. She's 7-2. I think she's got a big shot. Cathal Lynch, very good shipping into New York and just wins a lot of these kinds of races. And Speak to Me of Summer is interesting because I think the mile and 3/16 was just a little bit back, too far. I like the cutback to a mile. We talked about that earlier with one of the horses cutting back from 1.25 to 9 furlongs. She won the Lake Placid at 9. I think she might even be better at a mile. She won the Chelsea Flower last year at Aqueduct. It's her 4th off a layoff, really her 3rd because she was short first off a layoff. So I'm looking to make win bets on Speak to Me Summer, Miss Jamie K. Keep them on top and exactas and close out a pick 3.
Ellis, appreciate the thoughts on Belmont and Keeneland. Again, we'll remind people they can find your feature race. And the feature race of the day, feature race of the week, this week on Equibase is the QE2, correct?
Correct. And then it's also my race of the week, race of the day at Keeneland, the Keeneland website, because in that one I'm allowed to put my betting recommendations and my fair odds. And then also my Keeneland blog for the week is the Haggard. So those are both there.
Excellent. Very good. Ellis, again, always appreciate the conversation and the thoughts. Good luck this afternoon, and we'll talk again.
Thank you very much. And don't forget, I want to mention Keen Little Home at 12:15 on YouTube and Facebook.
Very good. So folks can check that out as well. Ellis, thanks. Ellis Starr, National Racing Analyst from Equibase, all of which brings us to the end of Racing Across America for this Saturday morning. Let me hit you with some of the promos before we wrap up. There is an Empire Six Syndicate today. But again, that's the team is filled out. But I just mentioned that for a couple of reasons. A, if you didn't get into this week's syndicate, don't forget the syndicate. The team starts to get together on Sundays. So you can check out the website for next week's syndicate starting tomorrow on CapitalOTB.com. But I also bring it up because, of course, the Empire Six today at Belmont is a mandatory pay. So keep that in mind if you would like to jump in and take a shot. It is going to balloon up. There's $426,000, I think, in the pool. So that's going to balloon up significantly this afternoon. So keep in mind, mandatory pay in the Empire today at Belmont. Prize Wheel Day here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Something going on all weekend long at the Racebook. Today it's the Prize Wheel. Come on down. See if you can get randomly selected to spin the wheel. There is vouchers on the wheel, swag, some restaurant coupons. Always a lot of fun. Prize Wheel Day here at the Clubhouse Racebook today. Tomorrow, it's an NFL Sunday. You can watch all the football games, all the racing action. Put your name on one of the squares. Maybe you win a jersey. That is tomorrow and every Sunday during the football season here at the Clubhouse Racebook. And Monday, it's a holiday, Columbus Day. Some of the bigger venues will be racing. So here at the Clubhouse Racebook, we will have a $100 knockout challenge. All of that on this nice weekend of racing across the country at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to wrap things up for Racing Across America for this Saturday morning. Be back in about an hour and a half or so, maybe a little earlier than that with early post time at Belmont. For OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon, we'll take a look at a little Belmont, a little Keeneland, a little Monmouth as well this afternoon. So some great racing still to come. Look forward to seeing you then. Thanks for tuning in this morning. And as I say, we'll catch you in about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live on a Saturday afternoon.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.